Hi, today's August 28th, 2022. This is Mobile Views Podcast 421. I'm Todd Agasawara with my good friend, the good Dr. Jonas. We had an interesting technical glitch. Our teams just kind of crashed after 2 minutes. So we thought we'd just start over rather than trying to splice it. Anyway, what I was saying before our team so rudely crashed on John and me, I think it crashed on both sides, John, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It just like knocked us out of the call and it was very rude.
Anyway. So Fitbit announced a trio of new products. I should say Google Fitbit announced a trio of new products. The one that interests me the most is the Fitbit Sense 2. And that's because it measures skin temperature and has something apparently the Charge 5 introduced nearly a year ago. And that's something called a body response sensor that measures something called electrodermal activity, or EDA. And it's supposed to be a measure of stress. So I'm interested in both. You know, I've wanted a body temperature indicator for a long time, and especially during the pandemic, I thought that'd be really not just interesting but useful to have. And the stress thing, I'm kind of tempted to buy a Sense 2 just to see if my stress levels go down after I retire, so I can do an A/B test. And I should note, you know, a work friend in another department and I lost a lot of weight during the pandemic, and we always joke that, you know, after we retire that we're going to start a business on, you know, weight loss through high stress. But
so, you know what's stressing me out more and more is just trying to figure out how to use all these metrics.
I like the idea
of them, but man, it is hard to know which metrics you should pay attention to, which ones you shouldn't. My favorite thing is looking at my Aura Ring every morning and trying to decide if I agree with it or not. Because, you know, it tells me my readiness and it tells me my sleep score.
Right.
And, you know, last night felt like a semi-normal night and I had a really good readiness and a really good sleep score. And I thought, I didn't have anything bad happen, but do I really think it was that great, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Metrics are great, but I have no idea what. More and more I am getting more and more confused about what I'm supposed to take as a takeaway message from most of these metrics. I mean, if something tells you you're stressed, stress is psychological. Shouldn't you know that already, that you're stressed? But maybe you need an empirical
I do
to tell you how stressed you are.
Well, you know, let's say maybe not you and I, but let's say you have a really stressful job, like you are, you know, you are in a life endangering line of business, and it can be a whole lot of different things, right? You would think that you'd be stressed every day. The question is, how stressed are you? Is it, you know, a lot of stress, extreme stress, like, oh my goodness, stress,
you know? Yeah, but you adapt. And so, you know, what's going to be stress for someone in that environment will be different than stress for the rest of us. So, it's all relative to you. Yeah. So are there days where you're not sure how stressed you are? Like, am I really stressed today? Am I not so stressed? And if you then find out that there's a disparity, you don't think you're very stressed, but it tells you you're very stressed. Should you get more psychologically stressed just to match it? Or if it tells you that you're not very stressed and you feel like you are, do you then feel less stressed because it told you that you didn't? Is it a great placebo effect? Should it just tell you every single day that you're really not that stressed and you'll eventually believe it? So I could actually see this as a very useful thing, but we've yet to actually come to this use of these things. It'll be useful for your friends and family to know your scores at any given time and think, gee, I shouldn't ask them that question today because they're pretty stressed and it's not going to go well for me or them. That would actually be fairly maybe useful if you're family and friends, but we would need it in a visible way, like in The Sims when you got the diamond above your head and it goes from green to red. So until we actually have wearables that change color, kind of like a science accurate mood ring,
right? That'd be cool.
Yeah, I really am not sure. I thought about building something like that, like a little pin or something that I could wear that would change color based on my metrics.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of neat to share that with the world and be like, if you come up to me and it's red, do not ask questions.
And if it's deep purple, move back.
Yes, yes. But if it's, you know, calming blue or green, then you're probably all right.
Yeah, I like it. I think that would be awesome.
Well, that's what you should build in retirement. Build. You've got all those Raspberry Pis.
I do.
It would be a great Pi project.
And sensors.
For like a Pi Nano or something like that. And you could build the mood tin.
Right, right.
The or mood, ring.
The mood, well, it had to touch you somewhere, right? So, yeah.
You would think. It could get the data from your other devices.
Oh, got it. I should note that, you know, so I just looked up what EDA is because, like I said, I never heard of it. Basically, it's a fancy word for galvanic skin response. So the other thing we could do is make lie detectors.
Well, considering I just had to reveal to my class last week that they're completely inaccurate for detecting lies, then might as well. We'll just keep continually destroying people's views on things.
Anyway. I'm giving it some thought, but I'm going to wait to see what the Apple Watch 8 offers before I spend, because I already have, you know, my other one is, my Fitbit is charging right now, but I held up my wrist, one empty wrist where my Fitbit normally goes, and the other wrist where my Apple Watch is currently on, to show John that I wear both. You know, I still wear Fitbit and Apple Watch because I really believe the Fitbit is much more accurate in step counting, which is what I really want. But anyway, okay, so Fitbit Sense 2, really curious, not sure I want to, at least the Fitbit Charge 4 doesn't look like a watch, really, it looks like some kind of wristband, so it doesn't look like I'm wearing two watches, one in each hand, but a Fitbit Sense looks, for all intents and purposes, like a, you know, a digital watch, so, who cares, everybody knows I'm a little odd. Anyway.
Well, giving that's it the way to thought. Look at it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares? Now, something I do care about is Apple confirms that the iPad OS 16 is delayed. And what they're saying basically is beta testers have gotten iPad OS 16.1 already. So they know that 16.0 is not going to be a production version. Apparently, Apple has had some issues with, what is it called? Stage Manager, the windowing system. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to delay its release. And I think that's, well, I guess it's not okay that people with M1 iPads, but for people like me who don't have an M1 or M2, there are no M2 iPads yet. But M-based iPad, it's not a big deal because I can't make use of any of those features anyway yet. And so I need to wait for a new iPad to be announced that that I can actually use, you know. So you do not have an M1 iPad either, right?
I do not, and I've thought about that. I do want to have a new iPad in the near future, a new daily driver work iPad, because my 11-inch iPad Pro is about 3 years old, 4 years old now, and I kind of feel like I'd like to upgrade it. But I will be very interested to see what we actually see in October to see if it will be this cycle that it gets an upgrade or if it will be another cycle past. Because it still works just fine. Although I guess I would not know how awesome the new ones are since I am used to the old one. Maybe it's super fast. Whatever Apple will tell me. But we will we'll see. I do. Stage Manager looks interesting, but I don't know. I think it's one of those things, like I've said before, that I'd have to actually use regularly in order to see any benefit to. So it won't be until I have a device that can run it that I think I would get addicted to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really not sure that the iPad is a desktop or laptop replacement for me yet. That said, you know, we had a contractor visiting us in the office last week, and I noticed that he had an iPad Pro. I can't remember if it was M1 or not, but anyway, he had the fancy dancy $400 iPad Pro keyboard. You know, that magic keyboard or whatever it's called. And he was saying that, you know, he has carried both the iPad Pro with the Magic Keyboard and, a Windows-based notebook with him, but he's going to stop doing that for a lot of trips because he's found the iPad Pro with iOS 15 with, you know, no Stage Manager to be perfectly acceptable for, you know, for him as a knowledge worker to get stuff done. So I thought that was really an interesting comment from him. And I asked him, you know, is that keyboard really worth it? He says, well, the company paid for it. So it didn't come out of his pocket. But he said, from his point of view, it's very much, valued accessory.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go buy that expensive keyboard, but I just thought it was interesting to see somebody using it in a work environment like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do use my iPad Pro as my walking around device at work mm-hmm. quite a bit. It, you know, my laptop stays in my office, and yep. the iPad Pro goes with me to class and meetings. So I can understand the desire to do everything on iPad Pro if possible.
Yeah, I do everything on an iPad Mini 6. So... Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm with you there. Ever since the iPad Mini 6, unlike the iPad Mini 5, supports Apple Pencil 2 versus Apple Pencil 1. And that was a huge win, you know, not to have something sticking out of the end of my iPad ready to break off charging it during the workday.
Yeah.
So that was a win. And I also carry a Bluetooth keyboard. You know, I wanted to note, you and I think are both pretty impressed with Anker products, A-N-K-E-R. And I use an Anker Bluetooth keyboard with my iPad Mini 6, and it has been great. It has been stable. It works the way I want it to. There's no surprises, which is what I want. I notice Anker no longer sells keyboards, or mice, for that matter, I think, when I looked at their website. You know, they still sell the usual things they got famous for, cables and chargers of various kinds, but no keyboards. But, fortunately, I found a replacement plan. I think it's called... Not bland. So, pardon my Japanese accent.
A bland replacement.
Replacement brand. And that's ArcTech, which I like a lot. It looks exactly. Key placement's a little different, but otherwise it feels exactly, I should say, as good as the Anker, and has just been just as stable. So no complaints. Okay. Next up, I'm interested to know, I have not been following the Apple Watch 8 rumors much, except that there's supposed to be some kind of pro gigantic version that, you know, covers your whole forearm or something. But So what's going to be new with the Apple Watch? And should I move up for my 6? You know, I normally don't buy, except like every third generation.
Well, you know, the big rumors right now, aside from health improvements and sensors, mm-hmm. those sorts of things that I still don't think we're going to see much, is that a larger size may be coming, or mm-hmm. a rugged version, or a pro version, or a pro rugged version, or something that is qualitatively different than the size that we have now. Again, this is rumors, and it's interesting because I have planned on upgrading my Apple Watch this year. I'm on a Series 6, mm-hmm. and I use my Apple Watch a lot, so yep. for me, I think it's a worthwhile upgrade. But I don't know what the landscape would have to look like for me to have a hard time on this. Rugged, I don't really know how rugged I need my Apple Watch to be, because I don't particularly do much with it that I would think needs to be rugged, although maybe I do. Who knows? I've never had – the only time I've ever broken an Apple Watch, my first Apple Watch did have battery swell, so it's sitting in a box somewhere, and the screen is kind of Googling out on it. But that's not something that is unexpected, because a lot of those Series 0 watches did have that. But the other time was when I was in a car accident, and my Apple Watch and wrist went slamming into the windshield.
Ew.
And literally broke, put a big hole in the windshield. Didn't go through, but cracked the windshield and cracked the screen on my Apple Watch. My wrist was okay. So the Apple Watch has taken a pretty abusive hit from me and kept me all right. It did not survive. So I don't know. Rugged? How much more rugged do we need these things to be? I could see a pro version with Apple in their typical, you know, it's larger and better, it's a pro, kind of like the first iPad Pro was the 12.9 iPad Pro before we had the 11 and 10, or the 10.5 and the 11 iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. So I could see that coming out. But, you know, Apple's always done these weird niche series of Apple Watches. You know, we have the Hermes Apple Watches,
Hermes. You know,
ceramic Apple Watches.
I forgot about those.
All these other ones that were very vertical niche sort of Apple Watches. So it would not surprise me if this is another one of these that is not exactly mainstream, and maybe the rumor mill has just got it wrong. We think it's going to be mainstream, but in reality, it's another one that we probably are not going to be interested in. So I'll be curious to see what happens on September 7th.
Yeah, which is, like we said, you know, it's less than 2 weeks away, less than 10 days away, in fact. And I don't know, are there any features at all of the Series 8 as a fellow Series 6 owner that the Series 8 is, that you know is going to, I know the biometric stuff is iffy at this point.
Yeah, other than a updated low power mode that is argued to exist there, that there would be an S8 chip, there'd be a temperature sensor, sleep apnea detection, car crash detection, AFib improvements. I mean, it could be anything on there. I'll be curious to see what actually happens. Of course, the rumors that we've wanted for a while, the idea of blood glucose monitoring, blood pressure, those are both things that will not be ready this year. And we'll probably not be ready for a number of 4 years. The idea that we're going to get blood glucose with the Apple Watch itself, I think, is fairly hard to ever get. I think we're going to have some sort of invasive blood sugar monitor first. Where you would have a probe that it would not be sticking out of your watch into your wrist.
Right. That would be scary, by the way.
Yeah, that would be very bad. But having it connect up to a probe that you would insert like you do with a continual glucose monitor now, that would be kind of interesting, especially if it would just be an optional, go buy any one of these particular probes. You could get that. So I think, honestly, what would be kind of neat in the Apple Watch space is if it could connect directly to Bluetooth health devices a little bit better. It can connect to Bluetooth heart monitors right now. So if you've got a Garmin or Polar heart rate monitor, you can use those when you go out running because they're a little bit more accurate than the built-in. And they also won't run down your battery as badly. The built-in heart rate sensor, but it would be nice if we expanded that support.
Yeah, I was going to say that my Apple Watch connects to my my Bluetooth scale for weight, but I just looked at it and it seems to have lost that ability. But I think my Fitbit connects to my scale. Does it?
Well, in my case, mine doesn't have to because everything feeds into Apple Health. So it would know based on that back end.
My scale is supposed to connect to Apple Health too, and it did for until June 25th, according to my data. Then it stopped. So I'm not sure what happened. And I should note that my Charge 4 does do skin temperature. It does but it only gives you relative temperature. So it's only at night. It only measures you when you're sleeping. So it tells you, what your nightly temperature is based on a baseline. So based on an average, it tells you if you're up and down from your average. And it goes up and down, not sure why. Like, for example, for the last 4 days, I can see my skin temperature last night was 1.7 degrees below my normal average, whereas the night before it was up about 1 degree above my normal average. So, there's fluctuation. So it does do its skin temperature. I just wonder if the new Sense 2 and the newer Charge 5 do actual, your skin temperature is, 88 degrees, because it's much lower than an ear or forehead.
Yeah. It's very easy to get relative. It's not very easy to get absolute. So that seems to be what's been the holdup for quite some time now is getting absolute. And I don't even know if we need absolute because most of the time, again, what are we doing with these metrics? The relative is much easier for us than the absolute, or much easier to comprehend what I should do with it.
So it sounds like there isn't really, or there aren't any really new cool features that we're aware of. It's mostly just a size, aesthetics thing, and maybe ruggedness thing, which is always good.
Mm-hmm. I agree. My battery capacity on my current Apple Watch, last I checked, is down to 85% capacity.
Yeah.
Just because I use the thing quite a bit. So that's another thing I would like to get my battery capacity back up a little bit. Because when you use it a lot and you wear it down, and then even with its optimized charging, it does not hold as much as I know it did 2 years ago. Battery health-wise, I'm down to 83% max capacity.
I don't even know where to check that. Where do you check that? I assume
settings,
it's in the watch. Yep.
Battery health.
In settings, not in the Apple Watch app. Okay.
Nope. settings on the Apple Watch.
Settings.
Battery.
Let me search for battery. I don't see it right offhand.
It's at the bottom. Okay. For some dumb reason. And then battery health.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All righty. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't see my watch, but my phone battery health is 87%, which is, you know, whatever. Hey, I just noticed, by the by, that since I opened the Apple Watch app first, while you were talking about the Apple Watch, that I have a update for my Apple Watch, which I have, I don't know what it does, but it is watchOS 8.7. It says, this update includes improvements, bug fixes, and important security updates, but that's all. Oh, yeah, I think I know what it's for. There's some pretty nasty exploits out there in the wild, but anyhow, I shall update that when I have a chance to unplug my watch or take off my watch. Okay, next up. I went to your website, but I don't see it. The thing you're going to talk about.
I think
next.
You had copied the wrong link. It all of a sudden went crazy. So I have created a new blog that is, well, it's basically me wondering, you know, a lot of the content that we read today on the internet is generated by a bot.
Yeah.
And I figure I should just be straightforward about it and tell people. So if you go to thebotsays.johnwestfall.com, Bot Says website, which is basically a WordPress blog that I ask questions of an AI. I use a couple of different AIs, and I put the responses down. So it's a... 99% of the content on that website is written by a bot, and I'm just asking it the questions that I want to know or that anyone might want to know. So certain questions that are up right now, why did Jell-O salads used to include meat? How do I trick people into following my website? What's the worst idea for a novel? Why shouldn't I fear artificial intelligence? Who are the biggest dinosaurs? Where did I put my keys? I mean, they're just some good questions that you might have that I think a bot should be able to answer if it's a decent bot.
Why are hot dogs the perfect food? I like that question.
Yeah, why are hot dogs the perfect food? That's a good one. I have some interesting things coming up this week, so you can follow the website by going to thebotsays.johnwestall.com. You can follow it on Twitter at thebotsaystweet is the username. Bot Says tweet. You can go to Facebook and find the Bot Says and like the page. They get the posts will show up on all those channels. But this week coming up, we've got some theme days. So Wednesday and Thursday, all of the questions are around some sort of central theme, which I will let people find out what that is on those days. We've got some great things like how do I get someone to like me? How do I train a cat?
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Where exactly is Fraggle Rock? How do I save for retirement? And just a number of interesting things. Why do St. Bernards carry alcohol? So some of these things, there are objective answers to.
Mm-hmm.
Others, I'm just letting the bot tell me things.
Is kind of a... saying that this is going to be a little extreme. This is not really what I really want to say, but I can't think of anything else. This is kind of like a psychotic Turing test.
Yeah, it might be. It very well might be. But yeah, I have a couple of different bots that I can consult. I've actually been using a couple of different apps. We talked about the Replica app a number of months ago. I plan on asking Replica some questions here and there and having her answer some of the things on there. So if you're curious about what a bot would say and also curious about what random weird questions I'm going to ask it, I don't know who you're more concerned about, me or the bot. But go ahead and take a look, and my goal is to schedule things out far enough in advance that I can give some weekly updates on what's coming up and continue to do theme days, and my goal is 2 or 3 posts a day, so you can get some interesting stuff. I think next Sunday morning, literally one of the posts is, what are some fun things to do on Sunday morning? So there might actually be some life advice embedded in what the bot says.
You know, I want to say, and I can't, I think the New York City Public Library used to have an Ask a Librarian hotline many decades ago. I don't know if they still do it. And, you know, it was not uncommon for children, for example, to call and try to get, you know, just get somebody else to do their research for them. But it was a human, you know, a human librarian, a very helpful human librarian. And I wonder if we, you know, if we had a human trivia expert or something and would comment on this. For example, your question about why do Jell-O salads used to include meat? And I thought it was going to say, well, Jell-O used to include meat because I think part of it came from horse fat or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But any rate. And I should also note, speaking of librarians, I remember, you know, back in my day when you actually went to a library because you needed books and the web didn't really exist yet, the science and technology librarians were extremely, extremely knowledgeable and helpful to me when I was stuck trying to find something that just baffled me in terms of, you know, the appropriate place to start reading. But at any rate, I shall look at this some more. I shall also know that John's blog, you know, johnwestfall.com, has some really interesting blog posts. And I'm really interested. I haven't read this one yet, John. It's fairly, not that recent, but back in June, so 2 months ago. Well, I was fat. Was I unhealthy? And that's a really interesting question. Really interesting question. Well, all right.
Sometimes I come up with interesting things, and sometimes I just farm it out to AI. So my writings are at justjohnwestall.com. The bot is at thebotsays.johnwestall.com.
Right, right. And aren't some people doing some tests recently about having AI do their writing for them?
There's a lot of that going on. And in fact, if you look for AI tools to write blog posts and write content, you will find many, many, many of them.
Right.
Not all of them that good, but you'll find a lot of them.
And I think some newspapers actually outsourced some of their sports reporting to bots like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, any rate, this is not a not as fanciful as one might think. And you know, it'd be kind of fun to add to your arsenal if you haven't already to trot out good old Eliza from 1950, whatever.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know. Because Eliza will be just, you know, just ask you questions back because it's Rogerian. But it'd still be kind of interesting, I think, to compare it to some of the more, you know, the younger modern bots.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if Eliza was ever updated? I mean, past its 1950s or 60s roots?
No, that's a good question.
I don't remember. Yeah, no. I don't remember. Okay, and the last thing I want to know is non-technology, but techies tend to gravitate towards these things, so I thought I'd mention it. So I was in the supermarket, as I do quite frequently, and I just happened to pass by a light blue, Coca-Cola can, which is very odd, right? Because Coca-Cola cans are usually red or black or, you know, that combination plus like a yellow stripe or something for their vanilla, that sort of thing. But this is a bright, light blue, like sky blue. And it was called Coca-Cola Dream World. And it's kind of a mystery flavor. And so I picked up a can. I picked up a bottle, a plastic bottle. And I took a swig of it. And then I read some reviews of it to see what other people thought. And people said, well, it has kind of like a mango taste. And I was thinking, kind of. My theory is that a Cherry Coke batch went horribly wrong. but it wasn't horrible. You know, the taste itself wasn't horrible, but it definitely wasn't Cherry Coke. And so I said, you know, it's not really Cherry Coke, so people will reject it if we label it Cherry Coke. So let's just call it something else, right? We don't know what it is. let's name it Dream World. And apparently Coca-Cola has been marketing other oddly named things, like, I don't know, Starlight or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, and I got the sugar-free version, I should note, because health. But so I got the sugar-free version of Dream World. And John, I don't know if you drink caffeinated drinks. I rarely do these days for other health reasons. But this does have caffeine, so you got to go easy on it. Unless you really like caffeine, as many programmers do. But give it a try. Let me know what you think. It's, you know, I've probably tainted your opinion saying that some people say it's mango-like. Having eaten mangoes recently, I'm going to say, yeah, I guess in the sense that you could say like ground chicken is beef-like, you know? But I'm kind of curious because, as I said, you know, in younger days when, you know, we could all drink a lot of sugar and a lot of caffeine and apparently had no ill effects. Boy, I remember stuff like Jolt Cola and Mountain Dew was a favorite of programmers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because of its high caffeine content. You know, we used to chug those things down like soda. Because that's what it is and was. But yeah, Coca-Cola Dream World. As usual, we're not getting any, you know, ad dollars for this or even ad pennies, but just kind of a technology adjacent question for programmers who, you know, may still be addicted to caffeine. All right, we are about 9 days away from the next Apple announcement. I am looking forward to it, but not as much as I was because I'm pretty sure there won't be a new iPad announced. What have you heard? All I've heard is iPhone and maybe a new Mac of some kind. Have you heard? No watch, no iPad, right? Yet.
Yeah. Well, I've heard watch for September 7th.
Oh, okay.
So I do think we'll see watch and iPhone. But iPad and everything else might be in October.
Okay. All right. Well, not as interesting for me as it might be. Although, watch, kind of interested if it has more biometrics. I've got an Apple iPhone 12 Pro, so 14, and I usually buy every other year. So it's kind of my cycle to purchase. So I'll give it some thought. I should note it's also my cycle to purchase a new Android phone, but I'm not going to do it yet. I'm going to stay with my 4A, which has been pretty good, and still has unlimited photo upload. So yay for my Pixel 4a. The new Pixels do not, by the way. And that's about it. We will talk to you next time.